your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Just win.
Your team
just
every
win.
Day.
Just win.
The autumn wind is a raider. Pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
What's up, Raider Nation? Welcome into Tuesday's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast, July 6, 2021. Your boy Q here. You can always follow me on Twitter. Hit me up on Twitter at your boy Q254. Of course, got that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line wide open. Like some old school TV antenna, 707-654-4693. Didn't get any calls or texts on Monday's show. Just had that throwback edition with John Kingdon talking all things Al Davis over the life and times of Al Davis. Hopefully you enjoyed that. I know a few people reached out to me regarding that show, so definitely appreciate that. And ready to get back at it, man. Very excited about the new adventure in Raider Nation. Very excited about the new chapter in my life. Very excited about being back on the West Coast. And I'll tell you right now, I've been driving around Vegas. I've been driving around Henderson looking for a place to live for me and the fam. Have not found one yet, but there's still a few more days left before the end of the week, and I got to get back to Texas and then come back and be ready to work starting July 12th. But yeah, man, just got a lot to get to. But still here to deliver the podcast on the daily. And please believe the podcast is going to continue to grow and get better and better and better and even have better coverage from here on out because of this opportunity in Vegas. So definitely appreciate everyone. I know I mentioned it on Monday, but appreciate everyone who's reached out either by text, call, tweet. And I know I haven't responded to every single person. I just couldn't. I mentioned on Monday there were so many calls and texts and so much love that I appreciate in a major, major way, but there's just no way I was able to respond to every single person. But please believe I got every text. I got every tweet and I got every message. Just, again, wasn't able to get them all onto the show. But coming up on today's show in segment number three, you will get a couple calls and a couple text messages not congratulating me about Vegas, not talking about the move, just talking about Raider football one way or the other. Just a couple of those I'll have coming up in segment number three. Then segment number two, going to talk about two guys, one on either side of the ball, offense and defense, that I'm really intrigued by. Guys that you could basically call sleepers that I'll be paying a lot of attention to while training camp is going on a little bit later on this month, since I will be in Henderson, since I will be at the facility able to check things out up close and personal. I'll give you two guys that I'm very, very intrigued by, and I'll tell you why this conversation even came up. That's going to be in segment number two. Here in segment number one, as I do on the daily, just give you the news and the notes of the day. So let's go ahead and jump right into it. And really, it's just kind of news and notes that have been collected over the past few days. And one piece of news came out on Friday that I really can't even confirm, and so I'm not really going to go into great detail about it, but apparently it was a report from Jeremy Fowler of ESPN that Derek Carr and the Raiders had started talking extension. And I know how Derek Carr is a lightning rod in Raider Nation. You talk about him, you either love him or you hate him. It feels like there's no middle ground, and so I'm not going to sit here and start that fire back up and not start that, you know, that conversation back up. But as I was going through Jeremy Fowler's Twitter account, I didn't see anything about Derek Carr. Now, that doesn't mean that he didn't say anything, because he could have been on NFL Live, he could have been on Get Up, he could have been on any of those shows, First Take. I mean, any of those shows on ESPN, Jeremy Fowler could have been on and talked about it, but I didn't see anything about that. But the one thing I will say is that it would not surprise me if they were starting to talk about an extension, because that's something we've talked about here on the show for quite a while, that he's only got a couple years left on his contract, and at some point they're going to have to make a decision whether they're going to move forward with him. They're not going to move forward with him. They're going to make him get to the playoffs before they move forward. I mean, they've got some tough decisions that they have to make, and there was some speculation that even earlier this offseason they had already started a contract extension talk. So I wouldn't be surprised if any of that rolls out, but just haven't heard any of it just yet. But I definitely will continue to pay attention, and if I do hear something and see something that's actually credible, like out there either on Twitter or I hear it myself, I'll definitely bring it to the table and say, yeah, okay, I can absolutely verify this. Now, there was a funny tweet, not a funny tweet, there was a tweet that I saw on the 4th of July, and again, I've been very inactive on Twitter. I haven't really been going back and forth because, well, I'm just in the middle of a move. I drove 18 hours from Texas to Las Vegas, to Henderson, to get to my mom's house, and man, I mean, it was not easy. You know, I had to stop in Albuquerque and actually sleep overnight, and then boom, get back in the car and drive, and again, I'm going to be doing it again this upcoming weekend, you know, flying to Texas on Friday, getting a U-Haul, getting the family and the wife in the U-Haul, and then driving back another 18 hours. So if I'm not super busy and super active on Twitter. That's why. But there was a tweet put out there first by Rich Gannon, former Raider quarterback Rich Gannon, basically saying what he was going to do for the 4th of July. And then the Twitter account Green Key Mortgage and Construction put out a tweet replying to Rich Gannon saying, hey, come back to the Raiders, come out of retirement, teach these half-fast potential prospects how to win. We need play calling strategists with leadership abilities. Currently, the two areas that need major improvement. Again, that was from Green Key Mortgage and Construction. And Rich Gannon just responded, would love to, brother. That was his response on Twitter. And that was it. That's where he left it alone at. And, you know, when John Gruden returned to the sidelines in 2018, the speculation was that Rich Gannon was going to be his quarterback coach, possibly even his offensive coordinator. And Rich Gannon, who was currently doing the CBS broadcast at the time, said that that was way too much. Hey, there's way too much time that I'm going to be away from my family. I need to be involved with that. I need to, you know, not be a player. I can't be a coach and do all the dedication that it's going to take to grind with John Gruden, even though he thought it would be fun. He said he just didn't have the time or the energy to be able to grind with John Gruden. Well, fast forward a few years later, and he's no longer working on the broadcast with CBS, and so maybe he's getting that itch. Maybe he's getting that itch to come back and be a coach and get on the sideline with John Gruden. I don't know if there's any room for him. And I know someone's going to say, well, just get rid of Greg Olsen. It's not a big deal. Well, Greg Olsen's been with John Gruden since day one, since Gruden returned to the sideline. So I would actually be surprised if they were to make a move like that. Greg Olsen's also the one that helped John Gruden find Darren Waller. So, you know, I'd definitely be surprised if they made a move like that. But keep that kind of in the back of your head that Rich Gannon did at least say he would love to, brother, when it comes to, you know, returning to the sidelines and help out as a coach on that staff. And this is the other thing that I'll say about that. Just because he was a really good player and an MVP quarterback for the Raiders and helped lead them to where they need to be doesn't mean he'd be a great coach either. You know, when Charles Woodson retired, everyone thought, oh, he should be a secondary coach, DB coach, something like that. Just because you're a Hall of Fame player, and I know Rich Gannon's not a Hall of Famer, but Charles Woodson is, just because you're a Hall of Famer doesn't mean that you're going to be a Hall of Famer on the sidelines either. So, you know, just be careful what you wish for. Rich Gannon may be a really good coach, and then he really might not be. I have no idea. But it is something to pay attention to because it did look like he had a little bit of inklings on like, hey, I wouldn't mind doing that. And I will say, because Green Key Mortgage and Construction reached out to me on Monday and said, what the F, Q? You know, how does Rich Gannon say something that's not your lead story or it's not what you're talking about on the show? Well, first of all, I would like to talk to Rich Gannon. I would like to get him on the show. I would like to, you know, reach out some way, somehow. And so that's what I'm working on. I don't just want to, you know, go ahead and say, oh, Rich Gannon wants to return to the sideline. But, you know, hey, I get what you're saying. I get the point. So I did want to, you know, just bring it up that it was at least out there floating around. Again, nothing means that it's going to be something concrete that's happening, but it is floating around there from Rich Gannon. So thank you for that tweet, Green Key Mortgage and Construction. I definitely do appreciate that. And my final piece of news, actually it's not even news, just a little nugget that I had, has to do with Darren Waller and Tim Tebow. And the fact that Darren Waller said he'd be willing to mentor Tim Tebow at the tight end position if that's what Tim Tebow wanted. Matter of fact, TMZ Sports, they caught up with Darren Waller and they were talking about the difficulty of the transition to tight end. So here's Darren Waller talking about that. Then you'll hear a couple follow-up questions from TMZ Sports.
It's definitely not going to be easy. Changing positions at any level, not to mention the professional level, is going to be difficult. But, I mean, you know, football's in his blood, so I feel like he'll find a way. He'll find a way to, you know, he's physical. He's, you know, athletic. So, you know, I wish him nothing but the best going forward. But, you know, it's a tough transition. You know, I was getting my butt kicked, you know, when I first moved to tight end. But, you know, you just stick with it and grind through the process and things get better.
You guys are all relying on each other while at Tight End University. If Tim wanted some advice, wanted someone to talk to, it seems like you'd be open to letting him pick your brain about the position.
Yeah, I mean, if he thinks he can learn from me, then I'd love to help him and help make his transition smoother. You know, I, you know, tried to find any information I could from watching guys play or asking people, you know, when I moved. So if I'd love to continue to pass that on and help him be a better player.
Probably a little easier to make the transition from receiver to tight end than quarterback, though, right?
Yeah, probably just because, you know, you used to catching passes and getting open and stuff. Yeah, you used to. But the blocking transition is, you know, we're probably facing the same mountain as when I started that he's starting. So it's a whole different game, but you should have buy into the technique and have a want to do it.
So there's Darren Waller right there talking about the fact that the transition for Tim Tebow from quarterback, not wide receiver, but quarterback to tight end is going to be difficult. But he did respect Tebow and say, hey, he's got the toughness. You know, he loves football. He lives and dies football. So if anyone could do it, it could probably be him. And if he, you know, needed a little bit of help and wanted some help from him, he would reach out to him, or he would, you know, be there for him if Tebow reached out to him. I thought that was really cool. Now, a lot of people would just kind of turn their nose up in the air and be like, ah, it's Tim Tebow. What the hell? You know, I mean, just kind of like that. But Waller, who knows that, you know, basically he's getting a second run at life, has no problem going ahead and sharing his knowledge and showing some love to the next man. And again, the football players, man, they're it's a fraternity, you know, and the tight end position is definitely a fraternity. But I just think with everyone across the league, for the most part, man, they all have a common respect for each other. And so it's kind of cool to see that Darren Waller had that common respect for Tim Tebow, where, hey, if he needs some help from him, feel free to reach out, and he'd be there. So I thought that was pretty cool. I know some people aren't big fans of that, but I ain't got no problem with it. So shout out to Darren Waller for being able to do that and having that, you know, that kind of wherewithal to be that kind of guy and not be a jerk about things. So, yeah, big ups again to Darren Waller. That's all I got for you for segment number one of today's Locked On Raiders podcast, kind of news and notes collected since Friday, you know, really over the weekend and everything, leading all the way up to today, which is Tuesday. Coming up in segment number two, going to talk about two guys, one on either side of the ball, defense and offense, that I'm very intrigued by, that I kind of think could be sleepers heading into training camp. I'll tell you how this came up. I'll tell you what I'm talking about, and I'll do it all in segment number two. But before I get to that, I do want to tell you about betonline.ag, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sporting action. Baseball season's in full effect. NBA, NHL, UFC, MMA, it's all going on. The NBA Finals gets kicked off tonight. The Suns and the Bucks, who do you have? I got the Suns in six. What do you have as far as the series goes? I got Phoenix. Either way, if you want to go ahead and put some money on it, put a little bit of wager on it, you can. Before the next three-pointer, the next slam dunk, the next rejection or steal, head on over to betonline.ag on your laptop or mobile device. Check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contests. Information. Get off the sidelines and get into the game. Again, head to the website using the mobile device or your laptop. Sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. You got to use the promo code Locked On, though. It's betonline.ag, promo code Locked On, to get you that 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Betonline.ag is your online sportsbook experts. Segment number two, it's on the way.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
All right, Raider Nation, here we are. Segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Time to talk about guys that could be sleepers. One guy from either side of the ball, offense and defense, that I'm really, really intrigued by. Guys that I'm excited to see in training camp and just see how they develop and see if they could be potential big-time players for the Raiders in 2021. And really, this all came about because I was sitting in my mom's house, and that's where I'm kind of camped out right now while I look for a place to live. Sitting in her house, and I was doing an interview with Patricia Traina from Locked On Giants, because, of course, the Giants play the Raiders in the regular season. So she was kind of doing an off-season preview of the Raiders just to kind of get an idea right now, while the Raiders had a 90-man roster, what it looks like, how it feels, you know, what the expectations are of the Raiders right now until the roster gets cut down to 53 men. And one of the questions she asked, and I have to give her a lot of credit for this, and I even told her when I was interviewing with her, I said, hey, this is a really, really good question. She asked me about a couple sleepers. What are a couple guys that, you know, or who are a couple guys that people may be not really talking about enough that could be potential big-time playmakers and, you know, guys that I'm excited about? And so at first when she said guys that I'm excited about, immediately I thought of Trayvon Merrick, right? Second-round draft pick out of TCU. And I even told her, I said, I don't think anyone's sleeping on him, because I've already said that I think he's going to be Defensive Rookie of the Year. And I put that on record on her podcast as well. So, hey, this is what I'm believing. I think this dude is a big-time playmaker, and he's going to make it happen. And I've said that on this podcast many, many times, that Trayvon Merrick is going to be the truth, in my opinion. Now, I've been wrong before. Don't, you know what I mean? I've been wrong. So I'm just going with my gut feeling, which, again, Raider Nation is something I've always rolled with. So I started thinking about it. You know, two guys that are kind of sleeper guys. You can't talk about Henry Ruggs as a sleeper. You can't talk about Darren Waller as a sleeper. Trayvon Merrick, again, that doesn't really qualify. Trayvon Mullen, I can't say him. Damon Arnett can't sleep on. You know, I was just like, who is the guy? Yannick Ngakoue, that's the guy I'm excited about, but you can't sleep on him. You know he's there. Max Crosby, everyone's fired up about Mad Max Crosby. So it got me thinking. And on the defensive side of things, Raider Nation, I came up with Nate Hobbs. Nate Hobbs, the fifth round pick out of Illinois. And I'm excited and intrigued by him because of the potential of what I believe. You know, now, of course, he's got to go out and prove it all in training camp. And then he's got to get into the regular season. He's got to be able to hold his water. But he's a guy that, one, John Gruden's already mentioned as a dude that's actually out there competing and, you know, showing that he could probably man that slot position. But two, that's the other reason why I'm intrigued by it, because, you know, the slot corner position has been such a thorn in the side of the Raiders for so long. They just can't find someone to hold that down. And LaMarcus Joyner was supposed to be that Swiss Army knife. He was supposed to be that guy that can, you know, slide up and cover a tight end or cover a running back out of the backfield. And, well, we all know that that didn't shake out. And we all know that he was playing out of position for a long time. And he shouldn't have been playing that. He should have been playing the safety position. But the Raiders have had such a difficulty finding someone to man that slot position. I think a guy like Nate Hobbs has a little bit of something in his neck where he's able to man that position. I think he's taking that as a challenge already, saying, hey, I'm a fifth round pick. A lot of folks are sleeping on me, but I'm going to go out there and I'm going to find the biggest Achilles heel that Raiders defense have, which in my opinion, the slot corner is one of the biggest holes in their defense. And I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to solidify that. So I want you to hear a couple quick pieces of audio. And this is going all the way back to Nate Hobbs getting drafted by the Raiders in the fifth round. So if you go back to the draft and the media session that he had immediately following getting drafted, a couple cool little sound bites that kind of, you know, gave me a little bit of excitement for Nate Hobbs, who he could potentially be. One, Tashaun Reed from The Athletic asked him about playing that slot corner and what he actually could bring to the table. So here's the first answer just about the position and why he feels like he can man that position. And oh, by the way, he's versatile, so he doesn't have to be strictly just a slot corner either. He could also man the outside. But here's Nate Hobbs' first answer and just what he thinks he brings to the table.
I think I bring a lot of physicality, size, speed, and matchup ability to the table. In that slot, I am a versatile guy, I feel like. So in that slot, I can match up with a smaller, faster guy in the slot. Or, you know, if they move a guy, an outside receiver in the slot, I can match up with him also. And I think I'm a guy who can blitz, who can recognize coverages, sit back in zone, man, everything. I think I'm pretty versatile.
So there's Nate Hobbs talking about what he brings to the table, his versatility, that if a wide receiver from the outside slides into the slot, he can cover him, or a quick, small, shiftier guy, he can cover him as well, like a Tyreek Hill. So that was a great answer as well. But then this is what really got the juices flowing for me, is when he was asked about just being an underdog and why he likes to embrace that role. Here's a very thoughtful and very honest answer from Raiders cornerback Nate Hobbs.
That's just what I've been all my life. I don't know nothing else. I came into high school. I didn't play varsity till my junior year. A lot of people didn't know who I was, and I got on the scene quick and made the most of that. Got to college. I wasn't a high recruit. I was about a 2-star. Only had one Power 5 offer. I made noise when I was in college. That got me to the position where I am now. And I was a 5th-round draft pick. I'm thankful to God. I'm just so thankful to the Raiders organization for taking a chance on me. But I won't forget that. I won't forget the guys who are taken before me, the guys who I feel like didn't do as much as me, but were still picked up. And I'm just so thankful for the Raiders for taking a chance. They won't regret it. They're getting the best underdog they ever drafted.
So there's Nate Hobbs right there talking about embracing that underdog role and saying that the Raiders got the best underdog that they've ever drafted, you know. And so that's, I don't know, I could be falling for the banana in the tailpipe, but I just kind of like that. I like that sound. I like that story. I like his determination. And every level he's been on, he's been underrated and he's been able to perform at a high level. So I think he's going to take that challenge very, very personal. And just think, Raider Nation, if that position could be solidified, that slot corner position, how much better that Gus Bradley defense is going to be. And remember, there was a pretty good corner that was a 5th-round pick as well for Seattle named Richard Sherman. It kind of worked out pretty well for him. I'm not saying Nate Hobbs is Richard Sherman. He got to go out there and earn that. But just know that just because you're a 5th-round pick don't mean that you can't be a damn good player in the NFL. So that was the defensive guy. And obviously, I'm a guy who's so intrigued by the defense. I just spent 5 or 6 minutes talking about one dude, and I got to talk about two guys. So the other guy, the other person that I want to talk about is on the offensive side of the ball. And I started thinking about, like, who could it be? You know, who's the guy that nobody's really talking about enough? And it's a guy that was brought up by multiple people on the podcast. And when I say multiple people, I mean like one or two here or there. But I think Brian Edwards, second year guy out of South Carolina. And this is what I told Patricia Traina, like, hey, I'm going to say Brian Edwards because of everything that he has, really all potential, all the potential in the world. And I even described him as a guy who could be very Michael Crabtree like for Derek Carr and for the Raiders. But we all know that his biggest issue is just staying healthy. So there was a big push, especially at the end, for Julio Jones, for the Raiders to go make a move for Julio Jones. Even I got to the party a little bit late, was thinking, yeah, you know what? They should go out there and make that move. We've talked about Devontae Adams here on the podcast because of what Derek Carr said. But think about this, man. If all of a sudden Brian Edwards could find a way to stay healthy and be out there on the field a lot with his size, especially with his hands, he's got vice grips for hands. I mean, those things, I can never get that image out of my mind when Derek Carr zinged that ball to the end zone at the, week 17, but last year against Denver, and there he was. There was Brian Edwards right there and just sucked that thing in, man. That was like a vice grip and just had such a control and hands on that ball, did not let it get to his body, and just is a perfect textbook catch, kind of like you're catching that ball off that jugs machine.
So now it's 3rd and 15. Ruggs re-enters for Las Vegas. Carr to the end zone. Edwards back shoulder. And the rookie hauls it in. Touchdown.
Great job by Edwards catching, hand to catching this football.
That's what he brings to the table. He's got those kind of hands. He's got that kind of ability. He's been described from Derek Carr as a guy who runs violent. You know, he'll run through tackles because he's so strong. He's so fast. He's got that big capability. But you can't do it from the sideline. You know, you can't get a dub if you're in the tub. That's what they say, right? Well, he's got to be on the field. He's got to be able to be available. If he was available, if he wasn't banged up at South Carolina in college, he wouldn't have been a third-round pick by the Raiders. He probably would have been a late first-round pick or maybe an early second-round pick, in my estimation, if he hadn't been banged up quite a bit at South Carolina. So I get intrigued by him because I do think that there still needs to be a wide receiver step up. Even though Henry Ruggs, I think, is going to take a step in the right direction, Hunter Renfrow, I think, is going to be very solid. You kind of know what you're going to get for Hunter Renfrow, and that's good. That's not a bad thing. It's not a knock on him. It's a very positive because Hunter Renfrow is just a solid guy. You know what Darren Waller is going to bring to the table, but who's going to be the other guy? Who's going to be the guy that just separates this team and separates this offense? You know, Josh Jacobs and Kenyon Drake, very excited about that running back duo. But if there's one more wide receiver that could really step up, and I know some folks talking about Zay Jones, some are talking about John Brown, and look, John Brown might be that guy. I'm sleeping on him right now. You know, that's the guy that, just like Nelson Aguilar a year ago, had to prove that, okay, he's the dude. He didn't have to prove it to me, but I didn't see him as that dude. And then he ended up being that guy. So maybe John Brown will end up being that guy. You know, Willie Snead's there as well. I'm not really... You know, I think Willie Snead's a good player. I don't think that he's going to be a big-time difference maker. But I do look at Brian Edwards and say, if that dude can get it done, and he's on a rookie deal, third-round pick, you know, going into year two, so he still, you know, has two more seasons, 2021 and 2022, before he's going to be looking for a contract extension. I mean, the Raiders could get some really good play out of him, but he's got to stay healthy. The key is staying healthy. And if he can... Whoa, Nelly, like my grandmother used to say, whoa, Nelly. I mean, it could be dangerous. Really, really dangerous. That offense could be outstanding by Darren Waller. You know how consistent he's going to be. And if things could start to open up for Henry Ruggs and he could start to figure things out a little bit more, I mean, you could be looking at a nasty, nasty offense. And when I say nasty, I mean a good offense across the National Football League. But I think one of the biggest keys will be Brian Edwards. So I know I spent way more time on Nate Hobbs, the fifth-round pick out of Illinois, just because I think that defense, well, I know that defense is so important for the Raiders to have success this year. That thing has got to be figured out. Gus Bradley's got a big, tall job in front of him, but he's also got a job in front of him that I think he can figure out and he can get it done. So Nate Hobbs, fifth round pick out of Illinois, he's my sleeper for the defensive side of things. And for the offense, Brian Edwards, third round pick, second year now out of South Carolina, think he could be that guy on the offensive side of things. But this is one of those segments where I would love to get your feedback. What do you think? Give me one guy from each side of the ball that you think is being slept on. 707-654-4693. That's the Locked On Raider Podcast voicemail line. You could also tweet at me at your boy Q254, and I'll try to get him on that way as well. Speaking of the Locked On Raider Podcast voicemail line, your calls and texts are coming up next. Before I get to that, though, I do want to tell you about Built Bar. And I've been telling you about Built Bar for a very long time. I am excited, though, that Built Bar has some new flavors that they're rolling out. They were rolling out the same 9 flavors for a very long time, but now they're back better than ever. German chocolate, cookies and cream, orange, strawberry, salted caramel, double chocolate, mint brownie, raspberry, cherry, barcia, and coconut. And for a limited time offer only, Grasshopper Cookie. That's right, Grasshopper Cookie. If you were a fan of that classic Thin Mint cookie back in the day, and I've said it before, I'm not going to lie to you, Raider Nation, I'm not a big candy guy, and I really am not a big cookies guy either, but I know that a lot of folks love those Grasshopper Cookies back in the day, or those Thin Mint cookies back in the day, or even still love them. That's exactly what this Built Bar tastes like, the Grasshopper Cookies. So if you want to get your hands on this one, it is only available for a limited time offer, so you got to make sure that you do it. You're getting a great taste in protein bar, which is strange to say. It tastes great, tastes like a candy bar, tastes like a cookie, but it's good for you. You can get that right now. When you check out, use the promo code LOCK15. You'll save 15% off your order just like that. That's promo code LOCK15 at BuiltBar.com. Segment number three, it's on the way.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Here we go, Raider Nation. Segment number three of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Just got a couple calls and a couple texts straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. That is the number. And like I said at the beginning of the show, man, it has so many calls and so many texts. I mean, I can do week on top of week on top of week of shows of all the congratulatory calls and texts that I received over the weekend, Friday, on the news, on the move to Las Vegas, on the move to Lotus Broadcasting and all that good stuff. And I just don't want, I mean, after a while, it's like, okay, we've heard it before. You know what I mean? And that's not me being disrespectful. I'm just saying for your sake, I don't want to bore you with people keep calling and congratulating and all that. So I'm not able to get all that stuff onto the show, but I do thank you for every single person that reached out either by way of text or call or even Twitter. It was awesome. I couldn't believe the overwhelming amount of love that I received. I think when I put out the tweet saying what was going on with my career and life, I think it got like 700 and something likes and 300 comments or something like that, some ridiculous number. I just thought, wow, that is unbelievable. But definitely appreciate all the love that I received either by way of text, tweet, or call. So with that being said, let's go ahead and jump right into some text and calls that have to do with the Raiders and just some football in itself. So let's go ahead and start things off with a text from Raider Black. Said, what's up, Q? I was born in 73, and like you, I remember the 83 Raiders, but only because my older brother was a Redskins fan. I'm not sure if that's where my Raider fandom began, but it was shortly thereafter. Remembering Al Davis is kind of hit and miss. Hearing dude talk about Marcus Allen brought back bad memories of him. That's the Gruden trade, the Kiffin firing, the draft picks. Other than some success in the late 80s, early 90s, I look at him as leading this team down a dark hole. And dude bashing McKenzie was a shock. We were in cap hell and Big Reg got us out of that. So I understand older heads loving Al, but to me he was a dictator with a do-it-my-way approach to management and had too much input with on-the-field play. That we're damn near still crawling out of today. Love the mystique that he created, but he did a lot of damage to it as also. That's from Raider Black. And thank you for the text, my man. And yeah, I mean, Reggie McKenzie did the salary cap great. I mean, he managed that, got, like you said, the Raiders out of cap hell and really set them up for success. But when you look at Reggie McKenzie as a talent evaluator and a GM, you know, he just didn't do a lot of things very well, and he didn't have a lot of energy. That was the thing about it. Remember the year when the Raiders had like $100 million in cap space, and he didn't even get involved in free agency till like day three, and all the big names were already gone? It's like, hey, Big Reggie, what are you waiting for? You know, so that's kind of what he was talking about. You're talking about John Kingdon, who I had on the show on Monday, and that's actually an older interview from 2019. And yeah, there was a lot of things that we could bring up that said, oh, Al did this wrong, Al did that wrong. But Al did a lot of stuff great with the Raiders as well. Now, the thing about it is, as he got older and later on in his career, and as the Raiders got into the late 90s and 2000s and beyond, the game of football became a lot harder than just being the owner / GM / this guy, that guy, or the other. You had to be a really good delegator of work. You know what I mean? And so that's the thing. Back in the day, you were able to, and Al Davis was able to do everything himself, be the head scout, you know, be the owner, be the GM, just take care of everything. But the older he got, and like I said, the more advanced that football got, and you see it now. You've got to have a good staff. It's not just about one dude. If you don't have a staff, then you're going to be in trouble. So I think that Al did a lot of really good things. But, of course, there's going to be mistakes. Every coach, every GM, every evaluator, they all have a lot of mistakes that they make. But you try to look at the good and say, man, that dude did the damn thing. And I have to say that when it comes to Al Davis, he did the damn thing. And so I think you know what, to double down on that, I think Mark Davis is doing the damn thing as well, because he knows what he does really well and he knows what he doesn't do really well. And he's putting people in position, or at least attempting to put people in position that can get it done and get it done really well. So thank you so much for that text. I definitely appreciate you. Next up, got a call from my guy Flavius in Indiana. He's calling to talk about watching the games multiple times, and that's something that we talked about on the show a lot last week before Friday's show, before I gave my announcement about what's going on in Vegas. And so Flavius was kind of giving a quick call just to double down on watching those games multiple times and then the bottom line, the end results. Here he is, Flavius in Indiana.
Hey, Q, this is your boy Flavius calling from Indiana. Hey, I was calling on the aspect of everybody going back to if we should watch the game more than once or just watch it once. You just watch the whole game once. I mean, if there's a fumble or an interception or a sack, you watch that if you want to see how the play broke down and how to fix the problem. But other than that, the only thing that really matters is the end result. Did they win or did they lose? Okay, out.
There he goes. That's my guy Flavius in Indiana. Thank you for the call. And like I said before, man, sometimes it's critical to go back and watch multiple times or watch areas of the game multiple times for one reason or the other. You know, sometimes you just need to verify something for yourself. Or sometimes, you know, someone can point something out and you say, no, I didn't see it that way. And then go back and look and say, oh, yeah, no, you're right. I mean, that happens all the time. That's a good reason to do that. And then also, for your peace of mind, like the whole call got started by, I believe, my guy Paul in Bakersfield, the barber. And if that's what he does and that's what you do to do, you know, just to kind of feel better about yourself, feel like you have a better understanding of the game, that's fine. But I just wouldn't put everyone into the same category that you have to do that to have an understanding of and make an opinion of the game. Like, for example, my perfect example is what happened last year in the Atlanta Falcons game when the Raiders went on the road and got destroyed by the Falcons. I mean, that was bad from the jump, right? The offensive line struggled. Remember Josh Jacobs trying to get around the corner on fourth down and couldn't do it? Didn't have that burst. The right tackle wasn't blocking the right way. I mean, just everything with the offensive line, like I said, struggled. DC was turning the ball over in the pocket, got the ball stripped a couple times while he's in the pocket. I mean, basically, the Raiders sleptwalked through that game. And you don't have to go back and watch it multiple times to say, hey, the Raiders sleptwalked through that game, and that was an all-bad game. Now, you can go back and watch it and say, hey, this guy specifically on this play was the reason why, you know, third and three didn't work. But, I mean, just in general, that game was a struggle from the very jump. So, anyway, thank you so much for that call, Flavius. Definitely appreciate you. Next up, I got a text from Raider Eddie. Hey, Q, I recently listened to Bill Polian's podcast review of the AFC West. He did express some concern about the amount of player turnover with the Raiders this offseason. Describe it as a potentially an issue with player effort. Do we have an effort or a culture issue in our organization? Unfortunately, I do think we have some culture of losing issues to fix it so we could put together some winning seasons. Simply too many seasons of losing. Thanks for everything. That's from Raider Eddie. And I'll say this. Sometimes you get guys in the organization that really want to give everything that they got, and sometimes they talk really good when they go to the organization. Hey, I'm going to give this all, and you're going to get this kind of great effort out of them. And then it just never shakes out the way it's supposed to be. Some guys, and it used to be the case of the Raiders, they used to go there in free agency just to collect a check. You know, and I think that the Raiders are doing a good job at least of weeding those guys out. They'll get those guys in, but they won't continue to keep them there. Now, I remember somebody hit us up, and I don't know who it was, so I apologize, said that, yeah, but John Gruden held on to Paul Gunther too long. He tried to make that fit where it didn't. And that's true. That's absolutely true. Paul Gunther should have been moved on from before, but, you know, John Gruden thought that, hey, I want to keep that continuity. And that's something I talked about on the show. Continuity is so important. The Raiders have had so much turnover as far as the coaching staff goes. You want to be able to have those same guys. Now, as far as the team itself, yeah, there is some of that. And I don't think it's the culture. I think it's effort with some players, you know. And I think that especially like the offensive line, the Raiders saw that the offensive line wasn't as good as it's been in years past. Trent Brown obviously was a big-time free agent that they picked up but just wasn't available enough. Rodney Hudson and Gabe Jackson kind of lost a step a little bit even though Rodney was still damn good. But I'm actually shocked that Gabe Jackson was around in 2020. I thought he was going to be moved on from. But, you know, they got younger, they got more athletic, and they got cheaper along that offensive line. And they're hoping to get better results than what they got from one of the most expensive offensive lines in 2020. So there's just a lot of that going around, you know, and it's just kind of the nature of the beast when you have a lot of free agency. Then you have draft picks that you have in there and you hope that they're going to work out. And if they don't work out at some point, you either move on from them or, you know, you try to trade them like they did with Lynn Bowden Jr. Just they knew it wasn't going to work in Vegas. So they moved on with them from him. And I know a lot of people thought that's too early. Miami got a steal. You know, he came out with that article saying he's going to do so many great things and be one of the biggest weapons in the NFL. We'll see. I'll wait to see on that. You know, I don't believe that all of a sudden he's going to go from a guy that just barely had any production in 2020 to be one of the biggest studs in the NFL. But again, we will see. So thank you for that text, my man. I do appreciate you. And the final call for today's show is going to come from ABA Ivan Davis. He's calling to talk about SoFi Stadium, the Rams and Chargers, as opposed to what it could have been with the Rams and Raiders. And then also wanted to talk about a couple offseason moves that the Raiders are making and what's going to follow all those moves. Here he is, Ivan Davis from the 510.
Hello, this is ABA Ivan Davis. How's it going, Raider Nation? I just had a few comments on what was going on with the show. We're going to start with the fan base of the San Diego Chargers and why the Raiders originally, who was supposed to go in there, that was the original offer, was for the Raiders and the Rams to share a stadium. I don't believe that the Rams wanted the Raiders there because the Raiders would have dominated that stadium, especially based on what the caller from Thursday's show said. And that's true. We would have taken over the stadium. It wouldn't have been the Rams stadium. They would have basically built a stadium for the Raiders. And that would have been great for the Raiders, bad for the Rams. So, Chargers. And now they're going to pay for it. But anyway, and two, I want to make a comment on what I think is going to be a prediction to what's going to happen after all these off-season moves. Because a lot of reports are coming out about the Raiders and their demise and their offensive line and things like that. I think that what's going to happen this year, we're going to take off. We're going to take flight about the second half of the season. Okay, because Gus Bradley's defense is not as hard to learn as one might think, especially since – sorry about the echo there. One might think.
There he goes, ABA Ivan Davis right there at the 510 calling about a couple different subjects. And as far as the stadiums go, I'll tell you, man, I really, really end up thinking, or I thought that the Raiders were going to end up sharing a stadium in L.A., and I really didn't want them to do that, not with the Rams, not with the Chargers. Because remember, the Carson City was the first example and the first stadium project that was even thrown that direction, and I was really hoping that that wasn't going to happen. And then I definitely didn't want them to share a stadium with the Rams. I think the Raiders fell into a great opportunity. Now they have their own place, beautiful stadium in Las Vegas, their own city. And I know there's other teams there like the Vegas Golden Knights. I know there's other teams there like the Las Vegas Aces. I know there's other teams there like the Aviators. I mean, there's so many different teams. I'm sure the A's are going to be here sooner rather than later. But either way you look at it, man, the Raiders are in Las Vegas in their own separate place with their own home where the Chargers and Rams are sharing that stadium right there. But yeah, I think that all the situations shook out really well for the Raiders. And you're right about SoFi. If it had been the Rams and the Raiders sharing a stadium, the Raiders would have been the most popular team, but they would have been paying rent to the Rams similar to the Chargers because that stadium Stan Kroenke was flipping with his money. You know what I mean? That was his project, and the Chargers just along for the ride, and that's what the Raiders would have been. So I'm glad that that didn't shake out that way either. And, yeah, as far as, you know, the offseason moves and the Raiders really coming on strong and later on in the season, like you were saying, you know, that Gus Bradley defense is going to be – it is more simple to pick up or simplified, I think, to be able to pick up for that defense, but – I mean, there's still NFL players that they're going up against, so they still got to go out there and execute. And it might be a little bit of time. You know, the offense might have to carry them. And this is what I said about the defense in 2020. The offense was probably going to have to start the season off and carrying the defense a little bit until they get acclimated. And then, boom, they could be able to carry their weight as well. Well, that never happened with the defense in 2020. Hopefully, the defense is able to carry their weight in 2021. I do believe that under Gus Bradley, you're going to see a lot better results. But again, you got to just wait and see before you can just go ahead and rubber stamp it and say, yes, that's no doubt about it going to happen. So thank you so much for that call. And I don't know if you're in the store or what. It sounded like the green light special was going on in the background. I don't know. It sounded like someone was calling someone over the intercom. But it's all good, man. I definitely appreciate your call and appreciate all the feedback on the Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line 707-654-4693. That's going to do it for today's show. Coming back on Wednesday, we'll have more calls and texts straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line. Of course, more news and notes of the day. And we'll have more conversation to dibble and dabble into and jump into here on the Locked On Raiders podcast. So until then, Raider Nation, as always, take care of your family, do what you got to do, and most importantly, just win, baby.